Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
How's it going?
Pretty well. I just have to drive, so I'm going to have a little bit of time where I'm out of service, but I'll be able to.
Are you on a cell?
Yeah. Is it hard to hear me?
No, you're just making a lot of noise.
I'm in a car, but I'll quiet down.
When do you want to start right away?
No, I want to call back at like 8:30.
That's fine.
All right, talk to you then.
In half an hour, right?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, 6:06. Got a friend of mine coming on the show, Bryce. If you've listened for a while, you'll know Bryce from Vermont. And we were talking last night. He's a guy that I met in Ireland, but was from the States. And then he's also an attorney. He's in Vermont, so he knows Sanders. And he said he wanted to come on and give a plug, his best plug for Sanders. So anyway, we'll go ahead and do that now. Lots of stuff going on out there. You heard the show yesterday. If you were listening late, you heard Walt Rubel and I talking about local stuff, especially about what's going on in the sheriff's office and the county. And you heard at the very end of the show, Kiki Vigil called in, disputing some of the things that Walt Rubel was saying. So Walt said, can we get him back on here? And I was like, sure, let's get him on. So Kiki told me he's going to call me early next week and set something up. The stuff that's going on right now, which has been very objectionable to some people or at least newsworthy, is that there's a number of functions that the police are not doing anymore. When I say the police, I'm saying the sheriffs. And some of it is like child welfare checks, which Walt Rubel basically said was beyond the pale, totally unacceptable. I'm just looking for this. Anyway, I'm looking for this list, and you know, Walt had this thing from the newspaper that he had printed up that he was kind of carrying around with him. So anyway, there's just a number of things that they're not going to be doing until, according to, I believe Kiki is saying that they are not going to be doing certain things. Another one was until they get the funding to hire more people is basically the upshot. And they also had, they were not going to do, basically there was a bunch of stuff that they were not going to do unless it was an emergency. Life or death or whatever was my take on it, or at least if not life or death, at least a serious crisis or whatever. So, and in Walt's position is like, how do you know if it's serious if you don't go out there? How are you ever going to know? And so they're not going to help with loud parties, for example. And then Walt claimed that had to do with this beat down at this party that this army kid gave local boy who was then in a hospital in an induced coma because he had been kicked in the face. And so anyway, helping people on the road and that type of thing. So Neil called up and said, what if this is the only way? They didn't help Todd Garrison. Now, Todd was a Republican, and you could claim they were not helping him because he's a Republican. And you know, but now you've got Kiki in there, and Kiki's a Democrat. And Kiki says they're calling his group, the Mustache Boys, supposedly linking them to Zapatistas, and that they're not real Democrats, and that they're conservative Democrats or whatever, and they're also Mexican, and it's just somewhat bizarre, you know. So anyway, we're going to get Kiki on here. Now, also, I've called Chris Barella. I had a very pleasant conversation with him, and I did a dedication to him yesterday in the jailhouse now. And by the way, that song was not written by Webb Pierce. It was written by Jimmy Rogers. Jimmy Rogers, by the way, is the father of country music, according to many people. He's the singing brakeman. I believe he lived in Arizona for a while because he had tuberculosis. He died young from that disease, but it was his songwriting and his early recordings that set a foundation for country music. And he did a lot of yodeling, but that song that was made famous by Lynyrd Skynyrd, Tea for Texas, was written by Jimmy Rogers, except I do not believe Lynyrd Skynyrd yodels in the song. All right, so driving out here, I saw some lightning down in the El Paso way. And so we definitely have a little cloud activity out there. So we'll get you a little bit of forecast in a minute. And Bryce is going to be calling up at about 6:30. So let me check the weather here for you. And I've got a temperature right now, 65 degrees, 85 the high, 62 the low. I was outside with some friends last night, and it was absolutely just spectacular. So if not, maybe a little bit muggy, of course. And I'm just going to take a real quick look here at the Doppler and tell you what clouds I see out there. But yeah, there's some clouds just kind of focused on El Paso right now. Looks like they've got some rain down in El Paso and also over in Anthony. Looks like you could have a little bit of heavy rain down in Anthony right now in El Paso. So anyway, we'll get you that forecast later. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on in the presidential race. And the question is that, you know, what's the next shoe to drop? Who's the next person to leave the race? Some people asking if Rand Paul's in for the long haul. Now they've got these new PAC rules, in which you can amass a bunch of money. A multimillionaire could give you a bunch of money in your PAC. You could live off that, whether that's a good thing or not. Scott Walker, there was a conversation about why he left. And I think part of the answer was he was in over his head, and that he thought he supposedly said he'd be able to get up to speed. He didn't have a lot of knowledge of international stuff. I think it ultimately killed him to keep mentioning this fight that he had with the unions, because it made him seem small town. So, but, you know, he could be back. But, you know, it seems to me like when these candidates get damaged, it's hard for them to come back. Why Hillary was able to come back, I really don't know. Obviously, according to a lot of people, they shouldn't be coming on, or, you know, she shouldn't be here right now, that she should be dropping out and allowing other people to come in. So in any event, let's take a slight respite here. Kelly O'Connell Show, 6:15, and looking for a little more. You know what? I think I'll play you a little bit of little more Jimmy Rogers here. Let's see if we can get you a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd here. There's a very famous set of Tea for Texas that was recorded live. Lynyrd Skynyrd was a very talented band, but they had a famous plane wreck. So, some of your. By the way, and let's get into the Pope a little bit before Bryce calls. I want to. People might be bored, but there's a lot of Catholic listeners, and I just want to give you a little bit of information about that, the Pope's visit and everything. And but I read his itinerary yesterday. I find the Pope personally to be disappointing that he has tapped in so much into the zeitgeist, which is the spirit of the age, the spirit of the moment. I mean, anybody who follows popular trends is going to ultimately, in my opinion, as a political figure, crash and burn if that's all, the only thing that you're about, because there's going to be a certain percentage of things that are popular that turn out to be very misguided. And I think that the Pope has, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that he's not a man of substance, I'm not saying that he's not a good person, but I think as a representative of the church, he has his mark, so to speak. And I think that he would be better served to get back on this kind of a traditional, and I'm not Catholic, it's not up to me to tell the Pope what to do, but I think he would be serving the church better and his mission if he were to go back and get back on board with a more traditional approach and not worry about speculative science, so-called science like global warming. Anyway, here's a little Lynyrd Skynyrd, Tea for Texas, written by Jimmy Rogers. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, so let's talk now for a few minutes while I have cell service, and then I'll call back around 9, too.
Let's just, I'd rather do a shot, a straight shot, so call back when you can talk.
All right, I'll call back when I can talk. It'll be in the 9 o'clock hour.
All right, man.
All right, bye.
Più sinistrina, ma sarebbe un errore di spiegazione. La mia dottrina su tutto questo, sul Laudato Si, sull'imperialismo economico e tutto questo è quella della dottrina sociale. E se è necessario che io recite il credo, sono disposto a farlo. Mi desidero che
It is a big deal. The Pope is in America, and he has just given, I just saw something that he had given a speech on that basically he said he was on a plane and he's giving a speech in Latin. That's why, I think he's speaking Latin. I don't know. In which he says, speaking in a foreign language, let's put it this way. He's explaining that he is, if I've come across as a bit of a lefty, that is a misperception. I am in line with the church teachings, and if I have to recite the creed, I will. The Apostolic Creed, of course, and other church creeds. But anyway, this is what I think happened. I think the Pope is a leftist. He's a progressive, obviously. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, he is. But I think the church, the conservative members of the church, in which there are many, got a hold of him, and basically he had a probably had a coup on his hands or had an uprising from these cardinals and bishops that were completely unhappy with some of the things that he said that clearly go against church teachings. And, you know, for the Pope to get up and say, who am I to judge the priests, is one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard. Someone's in the church, they're under the judgment of the church. They don't have a right to a private life, you know. But in any event, there's a couple of issues here. Number one is the leftism, and Obama is saying that he sees himself the Pope. He sees when he sees the Pope, he sees himself, basically. That's one issue, because the Pope has come out in favor of so many leftist ideas, apparently Marxist, at least Marxist sounding ideas, attacks against capitalism, attacks on greed. And you know, the sad thing about this, and also his support of global warming, the sad thing about this, if the Pope put in to, if he knew what he was talking about, and he really doesn't when it comes to economics, if he put into practice what he was supporting, it would cause a disaster. It would cause an economic disaster. The way for people to get out of poverty is not for the rich to give their money to the poor, or for the government to confiscate large amounts of private wealth and supposedly redistribute it. The way forward is for the economy to grow, that so that anybody who wants to work can go get a job. That's where you know, wealth comes from. Wealth comes from, you know, wealth can come from a country that's under subjugation. Some small percentage of people can go in and become oligarchs, or they can come in and become titans, you know, and in when you have a controlled situation. Well, look at what happened in Russia when the communist regime fell. Some people went in and made an extraordinary amount of money, became billionaires. But you have a tyranny like you see throughout much of the world, tyrannies or at least repressive situations. Some smart people or connected people can get in and get a monopoly on something, or they're able to buy into a company or, you know, usually that takes some support from the government. So the idea that is preferable, that type of government control that always comes with socialism, is preferable and the way forward is absurd. But I mean, this particular Pope seems very disconnected from reality, but to do a very large work on global warming and I know he's an educated man. He's got a degree in science and everything, but he's not a weather expert. And for him to buy in at such a deep level is extremely disturbing. To have a misuse of the church to come out and do an encyclical on global warming makes him, in my opinion, kind of almost a laughing stock. And so that's why I'm saying he should go back and represent the church. Don't try to represent science. Don't try to represent liberalism or leftism, because it is going to blow up in your face. You don't know what you're talking about, and the things that you're asking for, if they were put into practice, would cause a catastrophe, an economic catastrophe and a political catastrophe. And, you know, the Pope, I believe, should try to remember why he's in the position. He's in the position to lead the faithful, to represent church doctrines, to educate himself on the history of the church and represent that. Having said that, I'm not a Catholic, you know. But in any event, here's a little bit on the Catholic's visit. And pardon me for the criticism, because I know some people hold the Pope to the highest level of almost a divine character, and he's not. The Pope is only, according to the conciliar crisis, this was established almost 1,000 years ago, 800 years ago, that the Pope is a true Pope as long as he represents the church's doctrines. When he steps aside from that, he's no longer a Pope. So here we go.
Pope Francis will address a joint session of Congress later in the week. Lawmakers now setting some ground rules, though, for when the Pope enters the House chamber, letting House and Senate members know they can't work the aisles like they do at the State of the Union address. Shannon Bream, live for us from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington. And that's where the Pope will celebrate Mass 2 days from now. Shannon, so are lawmakers really going to abide by this? Because they like to reach out their hands when the president walks down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We see this every year. There are these warnings days in advance of the State of the Union address, and the president's going to walk through the chamber saying you can't save seats, all these things you can't do, and the members, many of them do it anyway. They break the rules. So we're going to see, will they do it when the Pope visits this Thursday? This is the scene. So you get a sense of it when the president was entering for the State of the Union this year. You could see people want to reach out. They want to try to touch him. They want to try to get a selfie, be photographed by him, get in just a word, a comment, anything. The feeling that would not be especially dignified for the Pope's visit, congressional leaders are laying down the law. In a letter signed by the two top Senate leaders, the two top House leaders, members were told this, quote, out of respect for the Pope's schedule and the expectation of a timely address, we respectfully request that you assist us by refraining from handshakes and conversations along and down the center aisle. However, knowing that members often do not follow the rules in these high-profile events, leadership's apparently not stopping there. Their reports, they've actually called on responsible, disciplined members to get there early, create a bit of a blockade. They're going to take the seats closest to the aisle on either side in an effort to prevent their more aggressive members from trying to reach out and touch the pontiff. Also, there is a very specific dress code that members will be expected to adhere to while the Pope is there visiting in the chambers. And the toughest thing probably for all of them is they're expected to be completely silent. You know how raucous some of these speeches can get? But because they want to keep things running on schedule and they don't want it to appear to be political at all, members are asked to not say anything, not stand up and clap or any of that. So we'll see if they behave. Gretchen?
I'm just going to put a wager on this. I'll call you up later, Shannon. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. So in the midst of also this controversy over the touching the Pope, which is really ridiculous, but although he's older, an older guy, and maybe he's a little bit frail, but there is a real concern about security with the Pope, and I don't know. I mean, the Pope has been warned by ISIS in the beginning that they were going to come and attack Italy and take over the Vatican and plant the black flag there. So I assume that this will probably be the largest security undertaking probably in human history, you know. But and I do want to say that my sense is the Pope is a nice guy. I don't want to come across as an unmitigated Pope basher. I'm only kind of critiquing, you know, some of the stuff he's done. But you see him right there. He was forced to say, I'm not a lefty. Now, do you think he wanted to say that? No, he didn't want to say that. It was his Vatican staff and the sea of cardinals and everything that forced him. And this has been in the news. There's a lot of unhappiness with the stuff that he's saying because it goes against church. A lot of it goes directly against church teaching. And you can't be, as in that role, you can't be flippant. You can't talk off the top of your head. And I'm going to come back and mention one thing about Paul Feyerabend, who's a philosopher of science, on something that I think is very important in this story of how the Pope has put out this huge, and I can't imagine how that church allowed him to do this, put out this global warming thing. But I'm going to say something about Paul. We'll play a little bit more on the Pope when you come back. Anyway, Kelly O'Connor, 6:32, and I think Bryce is going to call in at 7. So AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. KOBE 523-1450 to call in 805-6180. It's 6:37, and I've got a little story on whether the Pope will be, Pope Francis will be safe in America. I've got a little point here to make, and it is hopefully not too obscure, but Paul Feyerabend is one of the most important philosophers of science of the last century, and he wrote a very famous book called Against Method. But in any event, he said what scientists are doing is not so different than the people who created the Greek myths, for example, to explain natural phenomenon, lightning and thunder, or myths in general, you know, from Thor's hammer and all this business. So he was roundly criticized for that. But I would just like to suggest one thing here and kind of bring the Pope into it. When you come up with a narrative that fits in with leftism, which is global warming, you know, capitalism is bad. How do we know it's bad? It's destroying the earth. All right. And if capitalism continues on, we're all going to be cooked to death like frogs in a kettle. And then there is an answer. Man does have control of his destiny, and man and woman. We can back off capitalism, the greedy capitalism, which is destroying the earth, and we can let the earth heal. In the meantime, the greedy nations of the first world can give money to the third world nations, the poorest nations, because we've taken advantage of the earth, and we have taken and threatened their legacy. And the upshot is that it's a myth, you know, but it fits in with, it is an exact replication of science and scientific method, or pardon me, it's an exact replication of capitalism within science. We do have a call, and the call is Bryce. Bryce, how's it going?
Hey, Kelly, pretty well.
Hold on 1 second. I got another call. I'll come right back to you. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Takashi speaking.
Yes, I got a guest on the line, so just make your point briefly.
Yeah, I don't know why the whole idea of us utilizing all the resources on the planet and making the planet sick is so hard to believe. I mean, that's our culture. Look at Social Security, for example. They say it's going to be insolvent in, 2 years, 3 years?
But what does that have to do with whether we're cooking the earth?
Well, let me explain to you. They pulled the oil out of the earth, but all these intelligent people haven't figured out what the oil's there for. Well, we only figured out it's good to power everything else we need to power and drive our cars.
My friend, I believe that you've drunk the Kool-Aid. That let's talk a little bit later. All right, I've got Bryce here. Bryce is calling from Vermont, so he's had to get a secure line out there. Bryce, how's it going?
Pretty well, Kelly. Thank you.
You believe it or not, I was bringing in Paul. Bryce has a degree in philosophy, like I do. I was bringing up Paul Feyerabend, to the famous philosopher of science, to chastise Pope Francis a little bit for his encyclical on global warming. But you know, Paul Feyerabend said that science is making myths just as much as the ancient Greeks and Romans. But let's get into Mr. Sanders here. We were talking yesterday, and you said, Kelly, I'd love a shot on the radio to talk a little bit about Sanders. And can we take a break here and come back and talk to you? Got a minute? Because I've got some ads here.
Yeah, sure. Before you take that break, let me just mention that I think the Bible does say that we're supposed to be stewards of the earth. So to the extent that we're not doing a good job at that, I don't think we're being very Christian, but yes.
Hey, Bryce, spoken like a true socialist, a true follower of Sanders. And let me put you on hold. And as I mentioned, Bryce and I got to know each other from back in Ireland, but we'll take a little break here. And Bryce, I'll put you on hold, and we'll be right back, folks. 641, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. And we're going to be right back. And thanks for the call, by the way, Takashi. Sorry I didn't have more time.
Well, if you don't want me, baby, maybe you should all got it on.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast. on AM 1450 KOVE.
In today's weather forecast, mostly sunny skies. High should hit about 86 today. Some light winds this afternoon. A 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms. Going into tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low will dip down to 64 overnight. Winds will be light out of the south and a 20% chance for showers and thunderstorms tonight. The weather forecast is brought to you by Outer Limits Car Wash, featuring unlimited monthly car washes and free vacuums, 2821 North Tell Shore.
Hi, this is Michelle Angvarsky from Estrada Law PC. Because of my own personal family experiences with elderly parents,
Hey, you there?
I'm here.
I just got a call from the sheriff who wants to come on tomorrow. There's a big controversy going on down here, so we're going to cover that tomorrow. But, all right, so we're back on the air in about 45 seconds.
Great.
How's the weather?
It's beautiful out. Where's the sheriff?
What's that?
Why is there a controversy with the sheriff?
There's a fight between the sheriff and the county commission on the budget.
And
they just put in a huge tax increase down here. And when that money came in, I think it was implied that the sheriff was going to get it, or at least a chunk of it, and he didn't. And so they need new cars. They need a new communication system. This is a very big county. This county is bigger than Rhode Island.
Oh, wow. Probably more people than Vermont. Vermont has 650,000 people.
No, not at all. We got 200,000 here. We're on the air.
Well.
All right, folks. I got one of my dearest, oldest friends, Bryce Simon, who when I knew him was juggling fire sticks in the town square of Galway, Ireland, and we hung out a lot. And now he's a respected attorney in Vermont. Bryce, how's it going, man?
Pretty well, Kelly.
All right, so we're talking Sanders here, and we're not talking the Colonel. We're talking Bernie.
The General.
General Sanders. Sorry, he's going to launch a coup. All right, so who is Bernie Sanders, and why should anybody care?
So Bernie Sanders represents the new silent majority, just like Richard Nixon did back in the day. He really speaks for the 99% of people who are tired of the oligarchy, tired of big business and big government teaming up and taking advantage of the little guy. And Sanders has been fighting for the little guy his whole career. You know, when I was a kid, Bernie was mayor of Burlington, and I lived in Burlington for a period of time, cleaned up the lakefront, made it a park, you know, took a nasty industrial area, made it into a nice park. Today it's a big draw. There's the lazy aquarium is located there now. He developed Church Street into a walking
market. So he's working for the people to make life better.
Absolutely. And he's not bought by the big corporations or the special interests. You know, the special interest group that he cares about are veterans who can't support veterans. This country treats our veterans terribly.
Well, absolutely.
And he's spent his whole Senate career doing extremely good outreach and service to the veterans community. And he's willing to stand up to the big banks and to the insurance companies and drug companies in a way that Obama never did.
Well, give us your 30-second analysis of Obama. You're a person on the left. I don't know if you call yourself a socialist or not, but you're certainly farther to the left than I am. And I know you support capitalism in some way, but let me ask you this. What grade do you give as a person on the left? What grade do you give to Obama up to this point?
I give Obama like a C+, B-. And the reason what he's done a couple of things okay, but he's done nothing really well, and he's sold out in a lot of ways to the
price.
Drug companies and insurance companies.
Bryce, you've damned him by faint praise, I think.
I think that's what he deserves.
The good is the enemy of the great.
Well, maybe, but I don't think he's been a great leader, and I think that his health insurance plan is too expensive, and it's a giveaway to the big insurance companies, still allowing the pharmaceutical companies to charge whatever they want and not doing group bargaining with pharmaceuticals. So I'm generally disappointed, although I do agree with the Iran deal. I think the Iran deal is the best that we could have gotten.
Bryce, let me just make one statement here. This is a remarkable shift for you because you were originally a huge booster of the healthcare plan. Now the scales have fallen from your eyes, and I predict, and you do have some Jewish history in your family line, that this is going to be a debacle. The Iran deal is going to be a debacle. I mean, it's got all the hallmarks of a future disaster.
Well, we'll know in 15 years, but already we're getting better inspections and better data than we had previously. Uh-huh. And I think, look, Iran is too big of a country and it's too culturally sophisticated to just not have it included on the world
Bryce,
stage.
Bryce, are you going to ride your pet unicorn or Pegasus over and help the inspections, or are you going to ride the rainbow down over there and check it out?
I think the IAEA can actually do a pretty good job. but remember, look what Bernie Sanders says about trade deals. Though, if you want to talk about bad foreign policy, let's talk about NAFTA and the trade deal with China that rob American jobs and are potentially going to have international law trump our own sovereignty.
Bryce, you were supposed to be talking about General Sanders here.
No, but Sanders, that's one of my favorite things about Bernie Sanders, is that he is adamantly against these trade deals that are bad for the American worker, they're bad for the environment, and they're bad for U.S. sovereignty.
All right. So, I mean, I can't this smacks of mercantilism a little bit, this kind of controlled, maybe a more of a protected economy. But what are top reasons to support Bernie Sanders? Let's take it just a brief respite here, and we'll reload, and then you'll have about 5 minutes before the hour ends. Folks, we're talking to Bryce Simon. I've got your contact information, your firm's website on Blog Talk Radio, Bryce, just to let you know.
All right.
I hope that little touch of capitalism doesn't bother you.
Capitalist. I just believe in regulated markets.
That sounds like another catchphrase. Folks, we'll be right back here. We're going to talk to Bryce Simon, one of my good friends, and a real nice guy, real humanitarian person. We'll be right back and find out a little bit more why you should support Sanders. Not the Colonel, but General Sanders. Will be right back. 651 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back to talk about more about Sanders. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, listen. When I'm trying to talk, let me talk. Because
you kind of
roll it out and I lose my point, and I'm trying to make the conversation a little sharper. So are you available next hour or is this it?
I'm available again at 9:30.
All right, man. Well, this is good. People get a little dose of Sanders.
Yeah, I can call back and try to chime in again at the end of the next hour.
We'll see how that works.
Could just push it till Thursday or Friday too.
Well, I got other guests too. So
I was thinking
we were going to do an hour. I thought that's what you had committed to.
Well, and I ended up having to do an emergency court appearance by phone that took a half hour. Sorry about that.
No, that's, I mean, if anybody understands, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, you have to admit, being an attorney mixes together. I mean, it is kind of exciting to the extent that one minute you're writing a brief, an hour later you're researching something, and then half an hour later you're in court arguing on, it could be an emergency or something, but we're back on the air.
With Kelly O'Connell.
Okay, folks, I got Bryce Simon here. He's from Vermont. And, well, how big is the town you live in?
350 people.
But you're practicing law in what? I mean, what court are you in front of?
Well, I practiced in Vermont. That's in Memorial County, so that's a larger county.
But if you were, I mean, where if you were going to, let's just say you were going to go to a court of prominence in your area, where would you head?
Burlington, the U.S. District Court for the Second Circuit.
Okay, so Bryce, let me just ask you this. You got 5 minutes to get people on board for Sanders. What would you tell them?
Number one, that he's going to make sure that there's universal health care and, you know, Medicaid care for all. And he, you know, is right that there's no reason that we're the only industrialized country without universal health care, and we spend more than other countries.
Wait
on
a second. Wait a second. I got to interrupt you here. We've got Obamacare. What could be better? We were told it was the greatest thing since yeast hit flour.
No, the Obamacare was the Republican answer to the Clinton health care proposal.
Hold on a second, Bryce. President Obama pissed everybody off with a Republican plan.
Yes. Ironic that the Republicans didn't support it when he raised it, but they brought it up themselves under Clinton.
All right. So be that as it may, go on.
It's a giveaway to the insurance companies. It's a giveaway to the pharmaceutical companies. There's no public option. There's no public exchange. There's no low-cost alternative for regular working families, and that's what Bernie's going to do.
So will Bernie get rid of Obamacare?
Bernie will open up Medicare for all.
Power to the people, free health care for everybody. All right, what else?
Well, it's not free. We pay for it already. Look, if a poor woman goes to the emergency room right now, we all pay for it. Just we pay for it very inefficiently. And so universal health care just makes that efficient.
But you're saying Obamacare made it worse.
Obamacare didn't solve the problem.
Okay. All right. You're running out of time here, Bryce. Give us more reasons to support Sanders. But by the way, do you think a socialist can be elected in this country?
You have to understand, he's a democratic socialist, and it's very different from communism. It's the idea that markets need to be heavily regulated and certain things have to be free to everyone, like education and health care. But it still assumes that you're going to have capitalist markets when it comes to commerce.
All right. And he is in favor of guns, by the way.
Very in favor of the Second Amendment. And he's very protective of our constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. Under Obama, we have drone strikes on Americans without any judicial oversight. Bernie would stop that sort of practice.
Well, apparently Obama goes after these drone strikes the way some people go after angry birds, you know?
The way a fat man goes after a donut.
So, all right. So, okay. So universal health care for everybody. And what else?
Subsidized higher education to make sure that there's equality of access to the education system. And I think that, you know, another big thing that Bernie is really good at, like I said, is protecting our veterans after they come back from war rather than just going and putting them in harm's way.
All right. So what do you rate Hillary's chances as?
You know, during the last election cycle or the election cycle during which Obama was elected, Obama was trailing behind Hillary at this time in that cycle. And Bernie is beating Hillary in Iowa and New Hampshire. So Bernie is doing better now than Obama was doing at the same time when he ran against Hillary. Hillary is a weak candidate. She's an establishment candidate, and people are not excited about her.
Is she seen as corrupt by the left?
Yes, she's seen as a sellout by the left. The left views her as a corporate Democrat.
And do you see her as a just a totally hollowed out artificial life force?
Yeah, when you see Hillary on the stage, she almost physically looks
cadaverous.
Like, skin wrapped around bad intentions.
Holy cow. We might see her on Walking Dead then.
Yeah, dude, she very well could be, although Scott Walker looked like The Walking Dead the other day when he bowed out of the race.
He sure did. All right, so, Bryce, I want to thank you for calling in. Any last thoughts on General Sanders?
Just don't count him out because he's surging in Iowa and New Hampshire. He's probably going to win Iowa and New Hampshire. And once he does that, it's going to open a door for him in other states.
Viva la resistance. Thanks for calling. And you said you might call back a little bit later and continue your speech.
Yes, I will try to bring back the diatribe later in the 9 o'clock hour.
Thanks for calling in, Bryce. Great radio.
Bye.
Have a good day. All right, folks. Bryce from Vermont. So anyway, Bryce and I have gone back and forth on a few different issues, but he's a real good guy. Okay, so AM Los Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450. And I'm going to come back and read some texts, and then we're going to talk a little more Pope, of course, with a few other things thrown in. And all right, so we had a little taste of Bryce's impression of Bernie Sanders, and you know what? What is socialism? But if you go to the definition, if you go to the dictionary definition, you will see something that you don't recognize, which is the government comes over and takes over all production and delivery of goods. So that's not socialism as we experience it in the real world. The real world socialism is the growth of government and government absorbing the rights that we have seen in the Constitution. The rights in the Constitution are absorbed into the government so the government can protect you. That's the theory. They'll never tell you that part of it, but my point being that, you know, you either have property rights or you don't. If you're living in a socialist country, you really don't have property rights because the property is a right of control of the property is preempted by the government. And obviously, if you're living in a communist country, you wouldn't have any property rights because there's no right to private property. As I believe it was Proudhon, this Marxist philosopher, the socialist leftist philosopher, communist philosopher, said, private property is theft. That's the view of it. But so anyway, be that as it may, I don't give Bernie Sanders a great chance, but I think he's probably more attractive than a lot of people would realize. He is pro-gun, and he does, you know, he's going to defend capitalism a little bit. And here's the big secret about socialism. No socialist country can survive. A totally socialist country falls, stops moving because socialism has totally rejected the human nature. There is such a thing as human nature, my friends. We know that because, for example, how would you explain the persistence of great art? There's something within us that sees art that is inspired by genius, whether it's Rembrandt or Shakespeare's sonnets or the, you know, fill in the blank there. They see a magnificent architecture, and something stirs in the human spirit, and there is something in great art which is defined. I believe a good way to define great art is the definition of great art. It is has a foundation in truth. There's something true. You could say the comedy of Richard Pryor was great because he put so much of his own life into it. He's put truth into it. And people recognized that and reacted to it. So anyway, my point being that there is human nature out there, and there are something like 200 or 300 traits that are found in all people groups. that shows a persistence of human nature. Now, there is also malleability, there's also adaptability, but the human person cannot adapt to the idea of socialism. We cannot be programmed. We're not robots waiting to have a hard drive put in by the government, you know? So socialism doesn't work, so you have limited experiments in socialism. In any event, here is six places that Pope Francis, I wonder if he goes by Frank. I'd like to be frank with you. Here's six places where Pope Francis will most likely make news. This is from NBC News. All right. So this is another. I don't understand these news outlets putting this stuff on without words. But here we go. Video without words. Will Pope Francis be safe in America? More from NBC News.
Your story we're following tonight: Washington, D.C., New York, and Philadelphia are bracing for what's being called an unprecedented security event as Pope Francis arrives in the U.S. tomorrow. He's currently taking part in a historic visit to Cuba. Our team is there, and we'll show you that in a moment. But first, NBC's Stephanie Goss of the massive undertaking here in America to protect the Pope.
On the East River in New York City, the NYPD shows off its newest boats.
The cabin itself is bullet-resistant.
Just a small part of an unprecedented security operation for the Pope's five-day visit to the United States. Three cities, Washington, D.C., New York, and Philadelphia.
Hey, it's
16
Kelly,
events
this?
And multiple processions open to the public.
Hey, what's up, man?
Crowds at times over a million.
The numbers coming to Philadelphia to far exceed anything else that we've had in the city in modern times.
Each city will have thousands of law enforcement,
on the air?
Snipers, SWAT teams, and police helicopters.
NYPD
shoppers will be in the air and on the ground. It goes into lockdown.
I'm sorry, the rivers, and of course
the airspace. You understand
along
I'm playing
with
the clip
Pope,
right
New
now.
York
just
City is also hosting the UN General Assembly.
Can you hold on just a second?
170
Kelly.
World leaders.
What?
And then on top of all that,
can you hold on just
about,
a second?
Oh, yeah, by the way, the president's coming.
The Pope's visit is so large and complicated, the Secret Service is in charge. Among the challenges, the Pope's sometimes unpredictable desire to meet the faithful.
People get very excited, and they want to touch the Pope and be around the Pope. But we always have to be concerned that we can get out of any environment.
In Cuba, authorities arrested three political dissidents who tried to approach the Pope. In the U.S., one of the big concerns is small-scale attacks inspired by ISIS. A Pennsylvania police bulletin issued last week and obtained by NBC News warned that terrorists may try to impersonate first responders. But there is no specific mention of the papal visit.
As we stand here on the bridge of the ship right now, there is no credible specific threat.
Officials say the key to success is the right balance between security and access, a familiar high wire act, but this time it will be on a historic scale. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
All right, so we've got a call from Jerry, and he wants to challenge Bryce if and when Bryce comes back on about Bernie Sanders. What's your challenge? What are your questions?
Oh, hi, Kelly. First off, I'd like you to ask Bryce if he knows the difference between a representative democracy and a socialistic democracy. And the second thing I'd like to ask him is, does he believe that those that have plenty should be forced to give to those that do not have?
You would have to say yes. You couldn't have socialism unless people were forced to disgorge wealth for the common good.
The same thing that Karl Marx said.
Absolutely. Well, people remember socialism was a step along the way to communism, according to Marx. It was a necessary step.
Yes, sir. And the best way to explain to people that don't understand that is just like if they watch The Little Shop of Horrors with the flower on there and how it grows, it always says, feed me, feed me, feed me. That's the way socialistic government works.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, Jerry, anything else?
No, sir, you have a good day. Sometimes your radio station goes out when the sun starts coming up like
well,
this.
Well, we'll have to work on that. Hey, what? By the way, just for the folks' knowledge, what's the difference between representative democracy and socialist democracy?
Freedom.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Freedom, exactly. If the socialistic democracy, you have to give and work for the government for it to work for you. In a representative democracy, you work for yourself and you tell the government what to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, thanks for the call, Jerry. Have a good day. All right, folks, good points there. All right, we'll take come back and talk to Pope a little bit more. And 7:15 on AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. I'm going to come back and immediately read my couple of texts here. 805-6180 to text. Come back, talk about the Pope. It's 7:18, and you've heard of the Papal Bull. Well, now we have some local bull. I got my buddy Sam Kane here. Sam Kane, who has sponsored the show in the past, and Sam has got an announcement about a piece of art that's going to be beautifying our city. Sam.
Well, Kelly, thank you for letting me
on. Good morning.
This morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
We have been waiting for this thing for almost my entire life.
What is it?
It's a piece of art. It's a huge bull, and it's not a real bull. It's going to sit in front of my law office.
Where is your law office?
It's located 1018 East Amador, right across the street from the bowling alley. As you're coming down Amador, this thing has been blessed with several religious leaders all over the world.
Really? It sounds like it's traveled a little bit. Now, this thing is made out of what?
It's made out of the three precious metals of the statue known as the King Nebuchadnezzar of the Old Testament.
Really?
And it is it's amazing, because what it is if folks want to come over, touch it, and feel it, some people might say that if you're suffering from some kind of an illness, that you will be healed.
Well, that might get in the way of your personal injury practice. Might want to put a fence around it.
Well, you know, as long as people are getting healed, it's the personal injury part that I'm going to help them with.
Uh-huh.
If they've been involved in a car accident, a motorcycle accident, or any.
What if they were gored by a farm animal?
As long as it's not the bull that's going to be sitting out front of my office, you know what? Come on in.
How big is this bull?
This bull is over 550 pounds. It was transported. We had some trouble actually getting it into the country, and it's finally arrived.
Did they check it for immigrants?
I can't really disclose the
belly of it area. It's like the Trojan bull.
I can't disclose, you know, exactly how it gained entrance into the country, or whether or not it has the appropriate visa, but it's here. And
people can come and see it, bring the kids.
People can bring the kids over.
Get a picture on it.
Get a picture on it if you want to sit on it.
If someone sits on it and falls off and injures themselves, can they sue you?
Yeah.
Do they have to sign a waiver?
You know what? That's always a possibility, but I'll come out there and make sure that doesn't happen.
Maybe you should put a wading pool at its feet for people that are drunk that slide off. But all right, so how high is it off? You're standing next to it. How high off the ground is the bag?
It's about 6 feet high.
Holy cow. Pardon the pun, but I mean.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to bring a ladder over, you might have to. If you're over the age of 50 and you want to climb on it, I don't have a problem with that, but just bring a ladder, bring something that you can, and if you want to bring like a blanket to sit on so you don't slide off of it, you could do that as well.
Is it bronze? Is it steel?
It's gold, it's bronze, and it's made of precious metals. That's all I can say.
Wow. Get the kids over there.
Yeah, it's 1018 East Amador. Now, it's not there yet.
But it will be.
It will be. It's coming. This has been a long time. It's been over 2 years, the making. And
did you get a vision in a dream of a bull, or what caused you to do this?
You know what, Kelly? Actually, now that you mention it, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was lying awake at night thinking of how could I bring more art to Las Cruces.
Because we're an artless city, you have to admit.
Well, there's just not a lot here. And particularly between Solano and Espina, coming down Amador, there's just not a lot to look at.
It's an ugly area.
It's a, you know, you have, I'm not going to, I didn't want to say that, Kelly, but I think that's what most people are thinking.
Yeah, it's a hideous area.
You know, that area, people are falling asleep on their way to work. Accidents are happening. They need something to kind of give them some courage.
And the
bull
is going to do this.
It's going to do it.
Is it like the Bull of Wall Street or what?
You know what? It's very similar. In fact, it was somewhat modeled after the Wall Street Bull, Kelly.
Oh, okay. That's good. Which means its head is coming down a little bit, or
it's turning down, and it's what the artist designed it for is to show folks that even after an injury or a recession, you're going to come back stronger than you were before the injury.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. All right, folks, so we got Sam Kane here, and are you gonna sponsor the show again?
I sure am, Kelly.
Folks, I hope someone's recording this out there. This is an attorney giving a promise.
And Kelly, we discussed how we're going to get you into the gym.
Okay, yeah.
And well, it's hard to
build on perfection, but we're going to try. Folks, we'll take a little break here. Sam Kane, he's got his son in the studio as well. Jonah, how you doing? Say hi to the folks. How old are you?
12.
What school do you go to?
Missee Valley Christian.
And what is your favorite subject?
History.
What's your favorite period of history?
Eighth.
Eighth grade? Eighth century.
Yep.
All right, both. Okay, folks. 7:24, Kelly O'Connell will be right back. And we're going to talk about the Pope a little bit more. Of course, because, you know, you can't get enough Pope stuff. AMLS Cruises AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180 to text. I will read those texts. 725 on the button. Okay, 729. And we're talking the Pope here, folks. We're talking the Pope here, and kind of exciting if you're Catholic. I wonder if anybody left Las Cruces to go see the Pope. Could be a big deal to them. Here we go. Pope Francis begins first U.S. visit, greeted by President Obama. NBC is all over this like white on rice, or like brown on rice, depending on what you prefer. Check it out.
The campus of Catholic University of America. Behind me, the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, where Pope Francis will celebrate Mass tomorrow. The Pope's historic first ever journey to America began late this afternoon. Welcome to Washington, Plainside, by President Obama and a cheering crowd following his three-day trip to Cuba. For American Catholics, the next 6 days offer a chance to see and touch a leader who is inspired with his humbleness, compassion, and mercy. But his outspokenness on matters of world affairs ensures his visit will also be seen through a political lens. We begin our coverage with NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander. Quite a welcome today,
yeah,
Peter.
Lester, that's exactly right. This really is a historic trip. Pope Francis is now in for the night, but his arrival has already energized so many Americans, including more than 70 million American Catholics.
His Holiness today made history, touching down outside Washington, Francis's first visit to the U.S. The Pope, welcomed by President Obama and the First Lady at Joint Base Andrews, a gesture so rare this president's only done it once before. The Holy Father also showing special affection for school children. He then left Andrews in an Italian-made Fiat, dwarfed by the American SUVs carrying his Secret Service detail. Earlier, en route from Cuba, aboard a jet dubbed Shepherd One, Francis told reporters that he would not bring up the issue of the U.S. embargo on Cuba, saying this is a pastoral trip, not a political one. In Cuba, a remarkable reception with the Pope calling for a revolution of tenderness.
Today, thousands lined the street to greet Francis as he made a surprise trip in the Popemobile to meet with families at the Cathedral de Santiago,
embracing and taking photos with some of his youngest hosts. Even President Raul Castro sits today for a third time, the 78-year-old pontiff carrying his own briefcase as he boarded the flight to the U.S. Awaiting him in Washington, a city known for tight security, police everywhere, closing streets, putting up barricades, and everywhere excitement.
There it is, going by, and there's the Pope.
We're really focusing on the message of love and mercy and the joy that he brings to all of us here.
Francis will visit with the president at the White House tomorrow, on Thursday, becoming the first pope to address a joint meeting of Congress. Speaker Boehner today tweeting the view Francis will see while visiting the Capitol. While here, Francis will also parade along the National Mall and celebrate Mass at the largest Catholic church in the U.S. Tonight, Francis arrived at what's effectively the Vatican's embassy, located directly across the street from the vice president's mansion. A humble man of faith, now at the center of American democracy.
And in a city that's not known for its spirituality or reflection, what's really struck me is just how much Washington has embraced this historic visit. The cardinal here told us that he received a call from a friend saying, please take care of our Pope, and Lester, that caller, wasn't even Catholic.
Lots of excitement. We've been watching him all day preparing for the Mass here at the Basilica tomorrow. Yeah. Peter, thanks very much.
All right, so the Pope, you know, what can you say? So he says he's here on a pastoral visit, but I mean, it seems like, not to beat a dead horse, but it just seems like that his whole ministry is political, has been politicized, you know. So, all right, so let's shift gears here a little bit and get into some other stuff. President Obama skipping the Clinton summit, while his vice president, Joe Biden, and let me ask you this, 523-1450. Is Joe Biden, candidates are always more attractive when they're not running, I think, because of the fact that, you know, people, when they're not running, it's all upside. It's what a great candidate this would be. And this is... you get in and then people start going after you. But what does Joe Biden have to offer? I mean, is Joe Biden not going to be immediately connected to every mistake that the president, and the fact that, you know, when he was elected, he became this kind of like, you know, he's a person out of the white establishment. And, I don't know. I don't see how Biden run. Biden is like this real guy, the kind of guy you run into at a bar, buys you a drink when you come in, great storyteller and everything. But what does Biden stand for? He has to stand for everything that Obama has done, including mistakes, right? Because he has basically either supported him, enabled him. If he was totally opposed, he would have dropped out. So, all right. So here we go. Here is wow. This is from yesterday. Did Frankie just refer to personal responsibility when talking about getting stranded in your car? I'll have to remember that stance of his. Also, there are so many who live in rural areas and are lucky to have a car. I work with rural elderly who don't have a lot of money and have no access to public transportation. They aren't poor enough for free medical transportation either. Now, Frankie did make a good point about keeping a gun available when you're out in the boondocks. Thank you, Frankie, for supporting our Second Amendment. So this guy's solution to fixing our nation from the mess that they've left is to go further left. That's, I guess, Bernie Sanders. I hope this is not a golden calf in disguise, Lydia. Sam, let's assure the people when you come back on it's not a golden calf. All right. Here is from Kathy. Although I like this Pope, I do not agree with the canonization of the Franciscan monk, Juniper Serra. Religion must be accepted in one's heart, not beaten into you till you submit. Jeez, Kathy, what kind of a childhood did you have? This causes me to ask. The Native Americans suffered greatly under the whip of the Catholic Church. Kathy. 12 years a slave. Kathy probably went into the movie house and was there for days. They couldn't get her out. All right, so somebody beat religion into Kathy, and now she's like having her revenge. Kathy, what were you raised as? I wonder. And somebody mentioned that Patty Riley is just waiting to get back into the game here. And she took a little time off. Folks, if you call in, don't rant and rave. Make a point. Let me respond. It's a lot more interesting. Don't get on. Don't make. Don't do something like, the speech from what's the name of that play? The guy that thinks he's going crazy. Probably more than one of those in Shakespeare. But Hamlet. Don't get up and do a soliloquy that takes 15 minutes and which nobody's allowed to interrupt. We're all working together here. All right, we got another little text here. Oh, Methodist Catholic. Oh, Kathy, were you tied up and beaten by the nuns? Were you given a crack on the knuckles every 5 minutes with a ruler? All right, we're going to take a break here. I've got some other interesting stories for you. Let's see what I want to get into here. All right, I got a little bit more on the Afghan sex abuse thing. I found it interesting. Oh, here we go. More from Kathy. Her mom was. Oh, poor mom. Poor Grams. Well, it is only fitting for you to lash back at religion and God, Kathy. I'm sure that's a good life decision. I'll tell you a little bit more about that Afghan story of the sexual abuse. Can you imagine a chained to a bed and repeatedly raped probably for months or years by these Afghan warlords? And I was thinking, super macho people, right? The Muslim society, I would say ultra macho. What do we associate with ultra macho? Sometimes you see these gay parade and you see the most macho looking bodybuilders, bikers, like the village people. Sometimes in ultra machoism, there is a hidden core of gay, And so this think about this. Why wouldn't homosexuality be attractive in a society where women are subjugated, totally subjugated and treated like garbage? And that was from ancient Greece up to modern Islam. We've got a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's me.
Okay, for everybody out there, me is the Latin word for Mike. So go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Kelly, if over a million Muslim men enter Europe and by Sharia law only marry Muslim women.
Yeah.
Where will they find them?
No, Mike, you're mistaken. A Muslim man can marry a Muslim woman or a non-Muslim woman. A Muslim woman, although, cannot marry a non-Muslim man. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
It's not thinking of it. You got to go check the law. But here's the thing: the law of war in Islam means that you can go if you're have an enemy combatant, which is in theory any person who's not Muslim. You can go in and take those women from the men, and their marriages are dissolved ipso facto. That woman either becomes your wife or becomes a concubine, a sex slave.
Wow, hey Kelly, what do you think about these women are in Europe are told not to wear short skirts? I mean,
they may have hairy legs, Mike. It could be a public service.
It must be driving those radicals or those what is it the it would drive them nuts, wouldn't it? I mean, if they're wearing short skirts, what are they going to do? I mean, how are they going to force them not to wear short skirts?
Well, I mean, it's an internally regulated movement, but you know, the problem in the West is that these women become emancipated, they become westernized, and then they don't want to be under the sway of you know, they don't want to be treated like a slave or a thing. Thanks for the call, Mike. All right, got to take a little break here, and we'll come back. I'll talk about that a little bit. 7:42, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. And I'm going to come back and talk about this incredible Afghani rape of children, especially boys. Kelly here, and I've got this fascinating story from the Washington Times that said that because the policy that the Americans had, military indifference to blood boys, all of this is there. How do we find out about this? This isn't free. In the military are telling stay down and leaders. If you find that there are raping boys or girls, stay involved. Think of the extraordinary number moral and ethical statements made. Basically, his entire presidency based on telling people what they should and government. We have a moral duty to forming. Well, where's the moral duty to fight against? And can you imagine the kids go through? And their lives are absolutely ruined. I mean, they've shown children sexual abuse never recover. All right. Suit charges U.S. military time of Afghanistan using boys the killing of three Marines in 2000. Youthful or corrupt Afghan. I want to point another thing out. It's about boys, it's not girls. So, for whatever reason, raping little girls, they may be all in the tree. It is these warlords that are keeping boys. It's called Keepers is a catamite. The chief's son and his boy, he's got a harem of boys, and his boy forward operation for commander let him stay on August 10th. One of his into the bay and gunned down three Marines, Gregory Buckley of Long Island. His parents are never miss court. Scrutiny. None of the situation, and for this junk character, and he brought into the base the lawyers Michael J. Bow or Bo told the Times contributed to aligning our troops was committed the acts made our targets, and because in looking. Made of safety. So, culture of high politicians is in the focus of since 2001.
I'll say real quick, Kelly.
Yeah.
This thought of this shooting by people. I thought that he was really bothered. I could hear these little green
yeah.
sodomites.
I mean, these are, we're never, you no. know.
But if you're screaming as you're in a, it's just so filthy. And the fact that our government, my eye to it, it's usable.
Well, I think all of the moral, are you know, like, I think of Obama as like this rogue minister who likes to go around and lecture other people on how they ought to live. If there's ever a situation that calls out for intervention, this is it. And the president, who by definition knows about this stuff, says, "Don't worry about it. Not our business." That's absurd.
They all know.
And also the idea that we have to allow the rapes of young boys for us to have a military operation in this country, that can't be true.
No. Well, you know what? If that's the rationale of our military now, we're completely screwed, because that is not what we do as a people. We just do not do that.
Well, I mean, what this shows to me that the president is only political, and his whole purpose is to have a political regime that he can control as much of the economy or whatever he wants to do, but he doesn't care about moral issues.
No, only when it serves his purpose and his philosophy of where we should go. But everybody and anybody be standing up. And, you know, I heard this years ago on some ex-Marine or SEAL was talking on a news show in the evening, and he brought this up.
This has been an issue for a long time, because that they would – these military people would go out to these, you know, tea houses or bars or whatever, and they would see these men walking around with these boys, sometimes holding hands or whatever. It was clear there was a sexual relationship, and they're like, "What's going on here?" You know,
it's sickening. It's, and then what, the women? I just have to stop, because I'm going to say things I'm going to regret, and I shouldn't say over the air.
Well, this idea that this president has moral authority when he allows this to happen, how can anyone who has control over a situation like this allow it to happen? And then you would say this person's a great, great man.
Well, imagine our poor troops laying there and listening to
the screaming. It's totally bizarre. We are the major force in that area. We could have these men court-martialed so quick, or put into military prison, or the American military could just go out and execute these pedophiles, and nothing is going to happen. I am just so astounded that the president allows this to go on. And you so might say, well, why am I every single thing that happens on the president's watch that is bad, people always blame on another individual. Benghazi wasn't the president. It was Hillary Clinton. He never gets blamed for anything. He's a little brother, you know. No matter what happens in the house, nobody ever blames little brother. This has got to stop. This stuff has to stop.
It has. But you know, I found interesting this morning. I was up early, and about 5:30 this morning on MSNBC on Morning Joe, or whatever that was, Joe Scarborough and Mika. They were actually had a long session on this on TV. So I'm thrilled that it's out, and it's out on all avenues of the media.
Yeah, got to go, Karen. That's thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks. We've got to take a slight little break here. I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit more about the history of this pedophilia / catamite. In the ancient world, they were catamites. Very typical in pagan culture for catamites to be kept. Sadly, a young boy used for sexual purposes. And 753 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text, 805-6180, and we're going to come back and talk more about this. All right, some texts here. Trump for Prez. It's because Barack Obama is a Muslim. I don't know if that's in reference to. Is there a generational effect? The warlord was abused as a boy, an ending legacy. You know, why aren't these sodomites thrown off buildings? Why is it okay for them? One of the traditional, really not the most traditional killing of gays is to dig a pit and then to push a wall down on top of them to replicate Sodom. But anyway, the fiery end of Sodom. All right. So here I've got an article called Pederasty in the Muslim World. It's basically kind of a Wikipedia article. The practice of pederasty, or the love of men for boys in the Muslim world, seems to have begun sometime during the 800s and ended as an open practice in the 19th century, although it is obviously still going on over in some of these places. The seeming correlation of pederasty or the love of men for boys with the rise of Islam has been commented on by modern historians who see a link between the love of boys and the protective attitude of Islam towards women, leading to their removal from public life, together with the tendency of Sharia law to accommodate within the domain of private behavior inevitable activities. And then it goes on to talk about the love of, we got another call here. Thanks for the call, Kelly. Who's this?
Briefly. Hey, this is Stephanie, Kelly. Good morning again.
Yeah, just briefly, I want to say one more thing, but before we end, we're almost done. Go ahead.
Just wanted to make a comment on what you just said about the boys. The Greeks actually used to do that.
Yeah, I talked a lot about that a lot yesterday. Takashi, I want to get one more thing out. Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Just call in tomorrow about this. All right, folks, I'm sorry I'm running out of time. I've talked about this, and this article mentions this. Here's the thing. All right, listen to this, because we got about 1 minute. Islam has been another force shaping the ways in which same-sex love is understood and practiced in the Middle East. The valorization or the celebration of youthful beauty is found in the Quran itself. Quote, and there shall wait on them the Muslim men, young boys of their own, as fair as virgin pearls. And it talks about in other places in the Quran, doe-eyed boys. Islamic jurisprudence generally considers that attraction towards beautiful youth is normal and natural. So this is something that has been celebrated. It was taken, and then article mentions the Hellenistic or the Greek influence. In Greece, it was normalized for upper-class men to have affairs with the boys of their friends and to teach them. It was a mentoring relationship that had a sexual element. This is transferred over to Islam in history. And then it's hugely rampant because of the anti-female. So the only thing that a lot of these guys have in their mind is a boy instead of a female. It's sickening. Anyway, we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. Thanks for listening. AM Los Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE. Have a great day. Yeah.